I really also will take, no? Everything will take. No compromise. Friday we will start 12th canto. Friday. Huh? Let's see, project. What do you think? Should we have project this week and this week? Ten days max. 12th canto, half of it is dynasties. 26. Markandeya section is very important. Four types of pralaya is important. That these two sections will need some time. Glories of Bhagavatam. Bhumigita is also very simple. She also lists a lot of names and Bhumigita is not like Gopi Gita. And last 13th chapter is nice. Of course, all are nice. It's Nectar, Glories of Bhagavatam. Hopefully, I'll give that chapter and conclude. I did not give so many classes for your batch. At least, I'll give the last class of Bhagavatam. Okay, we'll start from 25th verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. 25th verse. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha. Yevam pragayan rupadeva deva sa urvasi lokamatho vihaya atmanam atmanyavagam yamam vai uparamajnana vidhuta moha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, having thus chanted this song, Maharaj Pururava, eminent among the demigods and human beings, gave up the position he had achieved in the planet of Urvashi. His illusion cleansed away all the transcendental knowledge. He understood me to be the Supreme Soul within his heart and so at last achieved peace.
So earlier, in the 9th canto we saw, he attained her planet. In the 11th canto, he left her planet. So this is how 11th canto is ending. Gave up the position he had achieved in the planet of Urvashi. Tatodu sangamutsrujya satsu sajjeta buddhiman santa evasya chindanti manovyasangam uktibhihi.
An intelligent person should therefore reject all bad association and instead take up the association of saintly devotees, whose words cut off the excessive attachment of one's mind.
So the conclusion that Krishna is deriving is, therefore we have to give up bad association and take up to good association. Tato dussangam utsrujya, give up dussangam. Then satsu sajjeta buddhiman. So please accept the association of saintly persons, santaha. So only by the association of saintly persons, evasya chindanti mano vyasangam uktibihi, one will be able to cut off this mano vyasangam, means the excessive attachment that one's mind might have for these material objects. So only by that one can give up. So giving up sense gratification is possible by associating with saintly people. So, because saintly people also endeavor to give up sense gratification, and some of them have already become successful in giving up sense gratification to certain extent, to various degrees, to various flavors of sense gratification. So, when someone is in the association of such saintly people, one will develop an impetus to give up material attachment, and one will also be inspired and endeavor in that direction. But not staying in the association of such people, staying in the midst of materialistic people, to be detached is an extremely difficult task. That is why we should have great respect for all the householder devotees who are maintaining their Krishna consciousness nicely over the years. Because for us, practicing devotional service is quite easy. Right? We don't have the distraction of family, children, wife. Right? Nobody is calling you. Phone calls are not coming. Kidhar hai? Where are you? Did you eat or not? So this kind of emotional inquiries nobody will ask. Some co-brahmachari may ask you once in a while, but hardly you get any emotional attachment with co-brahmacharis. So we are all men, right? They can't give that kind of affection and love and appreciation, right? They can keep you humble. But outside, in a family situation, the facilities for pampering one's false ego are more. The opportunities, or we can't call them opportunities, the reasons for getting distracted from devotional service are much more. Still, many grihasthas are maintaining their Krishna consciousness, means our obeisances to them. Right? So some of these verses that describe renunciation, detachment, criticizing family life, so all these things should not make us fanatic and look down upon householder devotees, but that should increase our respect for householder devotees. Oh, they are still maintaining their Krishna consciousness. Right? So I am giving another angle. You have seen this angle several times, but I am giving you the other side. So fanaticism will not work. And looking down upon other people, right? Oh, we are better situated. So they are. Even in this environment where there are a lot of facilities, there are not many distractions, still if we are unable to do, we should feel humbled. Right? So that is how one should think. Sometimes there is a tendency to wrongly apply certain things, right? In one's practical dealings that might manifest. So that could discourage people, other people, or it could create an imbalance. It could give some signals of immaturity, right? If we wrongly apply these principles. Okay, one should be in the association of saintly devotees. Santo anapeksha machittaha prashantaha samadarshinaha nirmama nirahankara nirdvandva nirapaigraha nishparigraha.
My devotees fix their minds on me and do not depend upon anything material. They are always peaceful, endowed with equal vision, and free from possessiveness, false ego, duality and greed.
So what is the nature of such saintly people, which he described in 26th verse? So here he is saying the qualities of devotees. Santo, who are those santas? So last 26th verse he said, Santa evasya chindanti mano vyasanam uktibihi. Santa, please associate with santas. Who are those santas? Santo anapeksha machittaha. Anapeksha means they are not dependent on anything material. And machittaha means their consciousness is dedicated to Krishna. Prashantaha, peaceful. Samadarshinaha, equipoised. Nirmama. Nirmama means they don't have that possessiveness. Tvam akinchana gocharam. Akinchana means having no possessions. So it's not literally not having possessions. Although one has hundreds of possessions, if a devotee does not have that possessiveness of those possessions, still he is akinchana. Tvam akinchana gocharam. Krishna is visible or accessible to those who are materially impoverished. That's what the verse says, literally. But actually, what does it mean? Although they may have lot of material opulence, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, all these are Maharajas, Priyavrata Maharaj, they're all kings. How many possessions they have? They are not beggars on the street. So if we take the meaning of that word literally, then all beggars are devotees. All wealthy people are non-devotees. Tvam akinchana gocharam. Krishna is visible to beggars. Krishna is not visible to devotees who are kings or wealthy people. So it's not like that. Then it will become Daridranarayan concept. So something similar, not Daridranarayan. They say poor people, they don't say Krishna is accessible to poor people. They say Krishna is poor person. Or poor people are Krishna. Like that. Like that. Manav Seva, Madhav Seva. Somebody told me this. Some astrologer when I was about to join ashram. Manav Seva, Madhav Seva, you can do. I said, where is it written? Show me some reference. Where is there any mentioned in any scripture? It's generally said, like, generally said, nahi. Give me reference. He has no answer to say. So, Nirmama. Nirmama is akinchana. So, Nirmama means no possessiveness. Nirahankrita, no false ego. Then, Nirdvandvaha, free from dualities. Nishparigraha, free from greed. So each of them you can elaborate. One seminar on each topic. Teshu nityam mahabhagam. Mahabhageshu matkathaha. Sambhavanti hitan rinam. Jushatam prapunantyagham.
O greatly fortunate Uddhava, in the association of such saintly devotees, there is constant discussion of me, and those partaking in this chanting and hearing of my glories are certainly purified of all sins.
So, one more point he says, take association of devotees, and what you do in that association, hear and chant about me. Teshu nityam mahabhaga mahabhageshu mat kathaha. So, jushatam prapnuyanti agham. So, one can purify totally one's sinful mentality by hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. So, this is the aspiration of so many great devotees. Dhruva Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, all of them are praying, we want to hear your katha in the association of devotees. So, even if one does not receive direct instructions from a pure devotee, simply by hearing him glorify the Lord, one can be purified of all sinful reactions caused by one's involvement in illusion. So somebody may be thinking that only if I personally interact with devotee or Guru Maharaj or whoever, then like I'm in good standing, or right, that is great fortune. But it is equally fortunate to associate with a devotee, may not be personally, but through hearing him glorify Krishna. So, I think once Radhesham Prabhu was sharing. So he asked Maharaj, I want your association, personal association, I want some time. Maharaj said, every Saturday morning and Sunday morning, almost 1.5 hours, I will give my personal association to everyone. Morning Bhagavatam class. And sometimes Sunday feast also. That is personal association. At one shot, he is personally associating with so many people. So hearing a devotee glorify Krishna is also personal association. Right? So one may not receive direct instructions from him. So basically Vani Seva, Vapu Seva, all these are there. Some devotees are there. They are directly reporting to Maharaj. And then Guru Maharaj may give him some instructions, right? So not every disciple may be getting an opportunity to directly interact with one's spiritual master. But some senior disciples may interact. And through the medium of senior disciples, the junior people may get some instructions, right? So one should be satisfied and content by associating with the spiritual master and by executing the instructions of the spiritual master through that medium of senior disciples or senior god brothers like that. One may or may not be able to get the personal association, personal instructions, direct instructions. Right? So that's what is mentioned here. Taye srinvanti gayanti yanumodanti chadritah matparah shraddhadhanascha bhaktim vindanti temayi.
Whoever hears, chants and respectfully takes to heard these topics about me, becomes faithfully dedicated to me, and thus achieves my devotional service.
Tate srinvanti gayanti anumodanti. See, srinvanti is hearing, gayanti chanting, anumodanti means taking to heart. It's like srinvanti gayanti grananti abhikshnasaha smaranti nandanti tavehitam jana. So if one hears like this, with full dedication, he can achieve my bhakti. Bhaktim vindanti te mayi, he can attain my bhakti. So the purport says, one who hears from advanced devotees can be saved from the ocean of material existence. When one obeys the order of bona fide spiritual master, the polluted workings of the mind are checked. So this is very much in line with that analogy that we hear. Our desires for sense gratification are like ripples on river. Guru's plans are like oceanic tides. When the rivers meet the ocean, the oceanic tides will overwhelm these insignificant ripples. Similarly, when a disciple aligns with the plan of spiritual master and serves and assists the spiritual master in executing his services, right, through which he wants to serve Krishna, one's personal desires for sense gratification are gone. Right? So that's what we hear. Same thing. When one obeys the order of a bona fide spiritual master, the polluted workings of the mind are checked. And one sees things in a new spiritual light. And there blossoms the propensity for selfless loving service of the Lord, which gives the fruit of love of Godhead. It's a very important line. So there is a lot of selfishness in one's heart. There is a lot of desire to gratify one's own senses. So how to check that propensity? Just go and align yourselves, align your energies, align your skills, align all your resources and manpower that you have, time that you have. So what you have a lot of things at your disposal. You have time, you have energy, you have skills, you may have some money, you may have some facilities, you may have some contacts. As a person, you have something. Align all these in executing the instructions of spiritual master. Engage all, everything that you have in obeying the orders of spiritual master. Then one can actually cultivate that real selflessness and love Krishna. So the conditioned soul is selfish. He wants to enjoy separately from Krishna. He wants to enjoy independently from Krishna. That's what is keeping him in this material world. What will take him to spiritual world? If he gives up this enjoying propensity separately from Krishna, and then he wants to serve Krishna directly. So that opportunity comes by dovetailing all our skills and whatever we have with spiritual master's plans. Because we don't know how to serve Krishna, spiritual master knows how to serve Krishna. So we just have to assist the spiritual master in serving Krishna. That is how we attain selfless love for Krishna. That's what he's saying. So hear and follow Guru. That will make one give up sense gratification. So sense gratification is that which blocks one to attain Krishna. And how to avoid that sense gratification? By serving Krishna only, by the instructions of Guru. In the Rudra Gita purports, you can open, someone can open 4.24.15. In that one line comes, Dhyayantaha japantascha pujayantascha samyutam. Yeah. So all the prachetas were dhyayanta, meditating on the instructions of Rudra. Japantascha, Girishena. Japantascha means they are chanting the instructions given by Rudra. Pujayantascha, they are worshipping the instructions of Rudra. Samyutaha, with full self-control. So in that purport, Prabhupada writes, the perfection of meditation is to meditate on the orders of Guru. So that is the perfection of meditation. One may meditate on 100 other things, but the perfection of meditation is when we meditate on the instructions of Guru. So meditation means execution also. Prabhupada writes there. Meditation means seva diya. Kya ka seva? Meditate kya. I was worshipping your instructions. I was meditating on your instructions. Kuch kiya kya? No, I didn't do. Execution, if execution is not there, only meditation is there, then it is like, you're not actually meditating. So, if you constantly meditate, you will execute also. 30th verse. Bhaktim labdhata labdhavata sadhoham kimanyaha avasishyate mayananda gune brahmani ananda anubhavatmani.
What more remains to be accomplished for the perfect devotee after achieving devotional service unto me, the supreme absolute truth, whose qualities are innumerable and who am the embodiment of all ecstatic experience?
What more remains to be accomplished if one achieves devotional service? 29th verse, he said, bhaktim vindanti te mayi. You will attain bhakti to me. So if you attain bhakti to me, what else is there to achieve? Bhakti will give you everything. Vedeshu yagneshu tapasu chaiva daneshu yat punya phala pratishtam atyeti tat sarvamidam vidhitva yogi param sthanam upaiti jatyam. So bhakti can give you what all other processes can give you, and much more than that also. Right? So that is bhaktim labdha, labdhavataha sadho. So there is nothing remaining for him to achieve. So Krishna told the gopis that they would have to accept their own service as the ultimate reward of their devotion to him. Na parayeham, Krishna says. Na parayeham. I cannot repay for the devotional service that you have rendered to me in the entire day of Brahma. What does it mean? When you perform unalloyed devotional service, pure devotional service, that itself is the gift. There is no other gift to be attained by rendering that service. Means there is nothing superior to bhakti. Simple. Krishna says, I have nothing to give you. Just be satisfied with your service. So this, at our level also we can implement this. We need not aspire for any remuneration or result for all our services. Right? There is no result. Oh, if I do this service, this is what I am going to get. Nothing like that. The very fact that you are getting an opportunity to engage in a service itself is a reward. Service itself is the reward. There is no reward that you can attain after doing the service. So the means and the goal are same. So just service is a reward. And at the end of service, what you will get? More service. After completing that, what you will get? More service. That's what. So we just have to make sure that constantly we are engaged in some service of Krishna and the Vaishnavas and Guru. So that's what we are aspiring for. The more we are getting opportunities to render service, the more fortunate are we, right? The more secure and safe are we, like that. So one needs to realize that. Oh, I'm getting service means I'm fortunate. Simple. There is nothing more to be attained than this fortune. Oh, I do this service, what will I get? You got this service, that itself is a reward. Nothing more than that. How many are getting to do the service of Krishna? Everybody is serving Maya in the outside world.
Yathopashraya manasya bhagavantam vibhavasum sitam bhayam tamopyeti sadhun samseyavatah tatha.
Just as cold, fear and darkness are eradicated for one who has approached the sacrificial fire, so dullness, fear and ignorance are destroyed for one engaged in serving the devotees of the Lord.
We serve the devotees, it's like fire. Cold, fear and darkness are eradicated when you go to fire. You're feeling very cold. In South India there is some festival called Bhogi. Bhogi. Sankranti is 14th. 13th is Bhogi. So they put a big fire. So everybody early in the morning, they will go near the fire and then they do like this and then they'll get some heat. They will mitigate their cold. And there are other significance also, but that is one element of the festival. So just as cold, fear and darkness. So darkness is gone when there is fire. Fear is gone then when there is fire. So similarly, the fear, dullness and ignorance are destroyed when one engages in service to devotees. That service to devotees is extremely rare. Durabahi alpatapasa seva vaikuntavatmasu yatropagiyate nityam devadevo janardanah. Durabahi alpatapasa. One who has meager austerity, he cannot attain service to devotees. So meager austerity means austerity is not the qualification to be able to serve devotees. It's mentioned in a conventional way. That's how we say. Oh, he must have done a lot of austerity to get this opportunity. That means he is very fortunate to get this. 32.
Nimajyon majyatam ghore. Bhavabdhau paramayanam. Santo brahma vidashanta. Naurdrudve.
The devotees of the Lord, peacefully fixed in absolute knowledge, are the ultimate shelter for those who are repeatedly rising and falling within the fearful ocean of material life. Such devotees are just like a strong boat that comes to rescue persons who are at the point of drowning.
Nimajja, nimajjaya, unmajjatam, ghore.
So when people are just drowning in this material world, material existence, devotees will come and rescue them. They are like strong boats. Right? They are the ultimate shelter for those who are repeatedly rising and falling in this ocean of material life. So Krishna's lotus feet is considered to be a wonderful boat that can make one cross this material existence. Kritsro mahan iha bhavarnavam aplavesham samasritaye padapallav aplavam. So all these verses say. So a devotee who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is also equivalent to such a boat that can rescue one from drowning into this material ocean. Right?
33. Annam hi praninam prana.
And one more thing. Here in the previous verse, for those who are repeatedly rising and falling within the fearful ocean. What is this rising and falling? In the material existence, sometimes one may go to higher planets, sometimes one may go to lower planets. This is like rising and falling in this material ocean. So, boat means it will take you away from the ocean. That means devotee's association and devotee's mercy can take you away from this universe only, material universe. You don't have to go to higher planets or lower planets within the universe. You can go out of the universe, go to the spiritual universe.
Annam hi praninam pranam. Artanam sharanam tvaham. Dharmo vittam rinam pretyam. Santor vagvibhyato rinam.
Just as food is the life of all creatures, just as I am the ultimate shelter for distressed, and just as religion is the wealth of those who are passing away from this world, so my devotees are the only refuge of persons fearful of falling into the miserable condition of life.
Annam hi praninam prana. Pranis means living entities. Prana means life. So for living entities, what is the life? Annam. If you eat food, then you will survive. Then artanam saranam tvaham. For artis, those who are in distress, who is the saranam, shelter? aham, Krishna is the shelter. Then dharmo vittam ranam pretya. So dharma is religion, vitta is wealth. So he says, just as religion is the wealth of those who are passing away from this world. So whatever dharma they have performed, so that is their wealth, whoever is passing away. So santor vag bibhyatorunam. Similarly, devotees are the only refuge of people who are fearful in this material existence. Santo adhijanti chakshumsmi chakshumsi bahir arkaha samuthitaha devata bandhava santaha santa atma ahamevacha.
My devotees bestow divine eyes, whereas the sun allows only external sight, and that only when it is risen in the sky. My devotees are one's real worshipable deities and real family. They are one's own self, and ultimately they are non-different from me.
Santo dishanti chakshumsi bahir arkaha samuthitaha. So devotees are here compared to sun. In fact, devotees are superior to sun also. Sun gives external sight. Devotees invoke your internal sight. A eye specialist, he may remove the cataract from the eye and then give vision. One Bhaktivedanta hospital doctor was sharing like this. So when we do these eye camps, people become so grateful. After a long time, they are able to see things. So that gives them a lot of happiness. So if just invoking one's material vision and giving one an opportunity to see this world gives so much happiness to people. Spiritual master is like a spiritual doctor who invokes one's internal vision and allows his disciples to see this world in a spiritual light. He enables the disciples to see Krishna. Right? How much gratitude the disciple should have for such spiritual doctor, spiritual master. So devotees are like that. Sun allows us to see this world. If sun is not there, then we can't see. Ravim vinakshno revanastavachyuta. If sun is not there, eyes cannot work. Similarly, if devotees are not there, our spiritual vision cannot be invoked. Foolishness is the wealth of the impious, who place great value on their treasure, and firmly make up their minds to remain in the darkness of ignorance. So thus the saintly devotees are one's real friends and relatives. They are the proper recipients of service and not the gross material body which merely clamors for sense gratification. Okay. So our real friends and relatives are devotees. Devotees are like boat. Devotees are the only refuge. So like that, in several verses, Krishna is glorifying devotees. Krishna is not glorifying himself. You take shelter of me, he said. But he is equally emphasizing the shelter of devotees. And finally, he says, thus losing his desire to be on the same planet as Urvasi, Maharaj Pururava began to wander the earth, free of all material association and completely satisfied within himself. So we completed 26th chapter. We will begin 27th chapter. So 27th chapter is about Kriya Yoga or deity worship. Here Uddhava is asking, Kriya Yogam Samachakshva Bhavad Aradhanam Prabhu Yasmatvam Ye Yatharchanti Sattvataha Sattvatarshabha.
Shri Uddhava said, my dear Lord, O most master of the devotees, please explain to me the prescribed method of worshipping you in your deity form. What are the qualifications of those devotees who worship the deity? On what basis is such worship established and what is the specific method of worship?
So Uddhava heard that deity worship also is very beneficial. Because in the second verse he is saying, All the great sages repeatedly declare that such worship brings the greatest benefit possible in human life. So, we have heard so many processes that a human being has to follow. We heard about renunciation, varnashram system, this yoga, that yoga, so many are there. But deity worship is also an important element. I want to know about that also. So this is the opinion of Narada Muni, Vyasadeva and my own spiritual master Brihaspati. So I want to know more about it. He says, such worship acts powerfully to cleanse the heart of both the lust to enjoy one's material body and the material family attachment that directly results from this lust. So lust makes one entangle in family life. And so that is like one attachment. Attachment to family and attachment to material body, enjoying material body, right? That is lust. And that attachment to material body will result in attachment to family, products of that attachment, right? Then there is new attachment created. So first attachment to material body of the opposite sex, then some more bodies will come, family will come, furniture will come, house will come, gadi will come. So many things will be around that. So then that becomes extended. So all this is having the basis in lust. But if one tries to worship the Supreme Lord, the deity form of the Lord, that means, now I'll give the gist, the main essence of the chapter. In the deity worship, there are so many offenses. All these offenses are centered around this one theme. Neglect and disregard and disrespect in the deity, disrespecting the deity. Now, don't show your legs towards the deities. Don't stretch your legs towards the deities. That shows disrespect. Don't show your back to the deities. There is also neglecting the deities. And chant the mantras very attentively and properly. Do achaman. So offer obeisances like this. So these are all, there are so many such rules and regulations in the deity worship that are centered around avoiding any disrespectful attitude towards the Lord. Now, the conditioned soul, or even a practitioner, a neophyte devotee, he has no ability to see Krishna everywhere. When he's walking like this, he will see only plants. But an exalted devotee, he can see Krishna everywhere. Just like you go online, you download some images, there are some watermarks on it. Right? So when there is a watermark, you can't use that image. When there are free images, no watermark, no copyrights, then you may consider using that image, right? So, someone who has no keen vision, he cannot see the watermark. He will put this in PPT and he will make a print also. He will put 1,000 copies print and then the owner will come and catch. Hey, you have used my thing. I downloaded it from internet, right? I paid the internet bill. No, I have kept my watermark there. It's my copyright. See there? I didn't notice. You will say like that. Similarly, a devotee is one who sees the watermark of Krishna in every single object in the entire cosmic manifestation. A materialistic person is one who ignores the watermark. He doesn't see the watermark only. For him, watermark doesn't exist. This belongs to me because he's a thief. They download from copyrighted sites also and they hack the contents also and then utilize for one's own purpose. That's what a materialist is. So if you download some image or some content from some website and use it, then people will catch you. Hey, this is copyrighted. You cannot use our content. You have to pay fine. You have to pay penalty. All that they will say. And what are they doing? They are just utilizing Krishna's property for their own sense gratification. This is all copyrighted material. All these trees and plants and the mountains and nature and bricks and everything that you see around is Krishna's energy. There is watermark and everything. But people are utilizing it for their own sense gratification. So this tendency is there in every conditioned soul. Now in the process of deity worship, you can't see Krishna everywhere, right? So for such a person, he is allowed to see Krishna in the deity form. Oh, here is Krishna. Then he will think that this is Krishna and other things are not Krishna. Right? He cannot, although he may have some theoretical understanding, he cannot act on that understanding. For him, if he sees, oh, he can see that as an object for sense gratification. But when he sees the deity, oh, this is God, this is Krishna, I have to offer obeisances here. But for a Jivan Mukta, for an advanced devotee, everything he sees is Krishna only. Right? So when he sees the deity form and he tries to utilize all this paraphernalia available outside in that service of that deity, he is making a habit. He is cultivating this culture of offering everything to Krishna. He is trying to see watermark of Krishna in all these objects. Oh, this is meant to be offered to Krishna. When he goes, when a pujari goes outside, when he sees flowers, he thinks, oh, these flowers are meant for Krishna. But if he does not have a culture of deity worship, he will pluck the flower and then smell, or I will give it to my lover. That's what he will think. When a pujari goes outside, he will see clothes, and then, oh, this cloth can be stitched nicely and offered to the deities. So, whatever a human being might need, all these deities also need. They need in much more extravagance. They eat 6 times. You eat only 3 times, now 2 times only. Right? But they eat 6 times. And what is the content of their plate? Not just dudhi, sabji, and then chapati, bakri, sabji, dal. Not just 3-4 items. Go to Rajbhog plate. 15 items are there. Go to Chopati Rajbhog plate. 25 items are there. Just doing backup will be, my God, it's like too much for doing backup there. You're all having a very wonderful time. Once you do backup in Chaupati, you will understand. You have done, right? You have done. 1 year you have done. Good. Rajbhog, you did. Okay, great. So you have an understanding. So how much this person will eat? Sir, pura din bhar bartan dhona hai padta hai. Whatever utensils, whatever bowls and plates that he has used, you have to wash throughout the day. Morning 4 o'clock, 3:45, your washing will start. Night 9 o'clock, that washing will go on continuously with my half an hour, 1 hour break in the middle. That's what service he is taking. So you can see God as a person. You can see God as the proprietor. You can see God as the enjoyer. You can see that there is God. Without that deity worship, for a neophyte to develop this understanding will take a lot of time. Right? He cannot see Krishna everywhere. A pure devotee can see Krishna everywhere, but a neophyte devotee can see only Krishna. Right? So to facilitate that, this deity worship process is there. So Uddhava is asking this question. Now further he says, O most magnanimous Lord, the instructions on the process of deity worship first emanated from your lotus mouth. Then they were spoken by Brahma to his sons, headed by Bhrigu, then by Shiva to his wife Parvati. This process is accepted by and appropriate for all the occupational and spiritual orders of society. All varnas and all ashramas can do it. Therefore, I consider worship of you is in your deity form to be most beneficial for all spiritual practices, even for women and sudras. So all categories of people can take benefit from this deity worship. O lotus-eyed one, O Supreme Lord of all lords of the universe, etat kamala patraksha karma bandha vimochanam bhaktya bhaktaya chanu raktasya bhuri visveshwareshwara. So please explain to us your devoted servant this means of liberation from the bondage of work. So this deity worship is also a means of liberation from bondage of work. Now Krishna is responding. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Nahyanto Ananta Parasya Karma Kandasya Chodhava Sankshiptam Varna Yishyami Yathavad Anupurvashaha.
The Supreme Personality of God had said, My dear Uddhava, there is no end to the innumerable Vedic prescription for executing deity worship. So I shall explain this topic to you briefly, one step at a time.
So Krishna says, I will explain this briefly. Here the word karmakanda refers to various Vedic methods of worship, culminating in deity worship. Just as a means of sense gratification and material renunciation are innumerable, pastimes and qualities of the Lord, they are also innumerable. The various concepts of piety and methods of purification in the material world ultimately cannot be reconciled amongst themselves without accepting the absolute truth. Since without appreciation of Him, there is no definitive understanding of what is actually obligatory for a human being. Even though almost all human beings are engaged in various processes of worship, the Lord will now summarize this topic describing how one should worship Him in deity form. Now when you say Karmakanda, Karmakanda involves a lot of worship. So deity worship means there is deity worship of so many kinds of deities. Deity of Kala Bhairava, deity of Kali, deity of Mahakali, deity of Ganeshji, Ayappa, Shani, Navagraha, so many deities are there. South India you go, every street there is a temple. So, a lot of it can be a part of Karmakanda also. However, deity worship is worship of Vishnu, worship of Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayana, Sitaram. So that is much higher than the deity worship that ordinary people will do as a part of their Karmakanda. So here Krishna is saying there is no end to the innumerable Vedic prescriptions executing deity worship. So I'll explain this only in brief. Vaidikastantriko Mishram Itime Trividho Makaha Trayanam Ipsite Naiva Vidhinamam Samacharet.
One should carefully worship me by selecting one of the three methods by which I receive sacrifice, Vedic, Tantric or mixed.
So there are three ways in which one can do worship. Vaidika, Tantrika, Mishra. Three ways. So Vaidika refers to the sacrifice with mantras and Tantrika refers to this Pancharatra, Gautamiya Tantra, so the rules described there. So mixed means you use both literatures. So one must perform sacrifice according to the prescriptions of the Supreme Lord and the sacrifice is holy name chanting. Yadasva nigame noktam dvijatvam prapya purushaha yathaya jetama bhaktya Shraddhaya tan nibodhame.
Now please listen faithfully as I explain exactly how a person who has achieved twice born status through the relevant Vedic prescription should worship me with devotion.
So dvijatvam. So deity worship is done after this dvijatvam, getting second initiation, right? Brahmana status. So there are different ways in which deity worship is done. In a temple, right, only some brahmanas and established deities. So they are worshipped by some brahmanas and then that kind of category. At home, without brahman initiation, also deities can be worshipped. For example, Kardamamuni, not Kardama, Kashyapa recommends some deity worship. Aditi, Payavrata. So there also is worship of Narayana. So deities are of different types, 8 types. Deity made of stone, then metal, sand, paint, so like that, jewels. So different categories of deities need to be worshipped in different ways, right? So there are more details coming up in this chapter only that will give a lot of insights into it. Some deities are there, they are automatically installed. Saligrama, Govardhanshila, you need not install. There is no prana pratishta there. You don't have to invite the Lord and then send Him back. Some are like temporary deities, some are permanent deities. So permanent deities means what you install in the altar for, you know, hundreds and thousands of years they are worshipped like that. Once you invite them, you can't send them back. But there are temporary deities. You say Yadam Asanam and then you invite them. After worship, you can send them back also. Right? You can invoke the presence of the deity to accept that worship, and once the ritual is completed, you will request them to go back. So that kind of permanent deity, temporary deity, so that concept is also there. No, exactly, but about the deities that we worship, they are like permanent deities. Yeah, they are installed for some time. Payavrata also. So you just make the deity and then worship for whatever, 48 days, 12 days, some whatever is your vrata day, time, 10 days. Then after that, you just put it in some water. Katyayana Vrata also is like that. So different deities have to be worshipped by different people. Then, please read translations. Now all some rituals are mentioned, and which may there is one section where the mood of deity worship comes. So there we'll elaborate more.
A twice born person should worship me, his worshipable Lord, without duplicity, offering appropriate paraphernalia in loving devotion to my deity form or to form of me appearing upon the ground, in fire, in the sun, in water, or within the worshipper's own heart. One should first purify his body by cleansing his teeth and bathing. Then one should perform a second cleansing by smearing the body with earth and chanting both Vedic and Tantric mantras.
Smearing the body with earth, Uptan. The purification of body and mantras. Yeah, next.
Fixing the mind on me, one should worship me by his various prescribed duties, such as chanting the Gayatri mantra at the three junctures of the day. Such performance are enjoined by the Vedas and purify the worshipper of the reaction to fruitive activities.
Yes.
The deity form of the Lord is said to appear in 8 varieties: stone, wood, metal, earth, paint, sand, and mind or jewels.
Here also it's mentioned. Permanent form of the deity made of marble, gold or brass. They should maintain continual worship. And there are other temporary forms. Sometimes they could be made of earth, sand. So in Krishna consciousness, there is no scope for neglecting the worship of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Next. Chala, achala. Yeah, right.
The deity form of the Lord, who is the shelter of all living entities, can be established in 2 ways, temporarily or permanently. But a permanent deity, having been called, can never be sent away, my dear Uddhava.
So temporary versus permanent deity worship. The devotees of the Lord understand themselves to be Lord's eternal servitors. Recognizing the deity to be Lord himself, they permanently install the deity and engage in perpetual worship. The impersonalists, however, regard the eternal form of the Lord as temporary manifestation of illusion. In fact, they regard deity worship as a mere stepping stone in their ambitious program to become God. Materialistic persons of whatever stripe consider the Lord to be their order supplier. This temporary mode of worship is favored by those desiring to exploit the personality of Godhead for their personal ends. See, personal ends. To achieve certain purpose, you worship a deity for temporary time and then you send him back. Whereas the loving devotees in Krishna consciousness engage in worship of personality of Godhead eternally. They install permanent deities meant to be worshipped perpetually. Okay. Next, 14th verse.
The deity that is temporarily established can optionally be called forth and sent away. But these two rituals should always be performed when the deity is traced upon the ground. Bathing should be done with water except if the deity is made of clay, paint or wood, in which cases a thorough cleansing without water is enjoined.
So you can do without bathing also. But if it is made of stone and metal, you can bathe, do abhishek. Okay. The general principle is that pure devotee understands his relationship with the deity to be eternal. The more one surrenders in the loving devotion to the deity, the more one can understand the Supreme Lord. Krishna is a person, but he is a supreme person, possessing his own unique feelings. One can easily please the Lord by devotional service offered to his deity form. By pleasing the Lord, one can gradually progress in the mission of human life and eventually go back to Godhead. whereas deity personally appears before the devotee and welcomes the devotee to his personal abode, known throughout the world as the kingdom of God. Right? Paint his picture. All our seven temples. For us, paint his print. Yeah, reads 15th. 15th verse onwards, you will see the mood of deity worship.
One should worship me in my deity forms by offering the most excellent paraphernalia. But a devotee completely freed from material desire may worship me with whatever he is able to obtain and may even worship me within his heart and mental paraphernalia.
There is manas puja also allowed if he does not have necessary ingredients to worship. But if he has a facility to worship physically, then he need not be satisfied with manas puja. He should do it physically also. So even if one donates 10 crores in the mind, Krishna will accept that. But if he has only 100 rupees in the pocket, he can do that also. He can offer that. A devotee still troubled by material desire tends to see the world as an object of sense gratification. This I already explained in the beginning. Next, 16-17.
In worshipping the temple deity, my dear Uddhava, bathing and decoration are the most pleasing offerings.
So bathing and decoration. Here in our temples, we have two sets of deities. One is a Mula Virat, Mula Vigraha, where the deity cannot be moved once installed. They take pleasure in accepting decoration, Shringar, Alankar. And there is another set of deities called Utsav Murti, for us Banbihari, Radha Banbihari and Radha Vrindavan Bihari. So we move Radha Banbihari and then bathe them every day, do Abhishek, and then apply Chandan, all this we do. But for big deities, we will not move. Only Alankar happens. There is no Abhishek and all. Abhishek only one day, installation day. So every day there is some wiping with some cloth. That's considered bathing. But Abhishek and all, Panchamrit, all that will not happen. Yes. For the big deities take pleasure in Shringar. Small deities take pleasure in bathing, Abhishek. Next.
For the deity traced on sacred ground, the process of tattva vinyas is most dear. Oblations of sesame and barley soaked in ghee are the preferred offering to the sacrificial fire. Whereas worship consisting of upasthan and argya is performed for the sun. One should worship me in the form of water by offering water itself. Actually, whatever is offered to me with faith by my devotee, even if only a little water, is most dear to me.
So he started explaining some technical aspects of offerings. But finally he says, what I accept is love, devotion. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. So that offering which is made with love and bhakti is more dear. The principal item is the faith and devotion of the worshipper, without which everything else is useless, as the Lord describes in the next verse. Bruhyapyap abhaktopahritam name toshaya kalpate gandhodhupaha sumanaso deeponnadhyam cha kimpunaha.
Even very opulent presentation do not satisfy me if they are offered by non-devotees. But I am pleased by any insignificant offering made by my loving devotees. And I am certainly most pleased when nice presentation of fragrant oil, incense, flowers and palatable foods are offered with love.
Bhuryapi abhakta upahritam. Bhurya means very great. But if it is offered by an abhakta, abhakta upahritam, offered by a non-devotee, it's not very exciting to Krishna. Name toshaya kalpate. They cannot give any satisfaction to him. So gandho dupaha sumanaso deepo annadyam kim prabhoho. But I am pleased with any insignificant offering made by loving devotees. I am very much pleased with gandha, dupa, then incense, flowers, foods, etc. If they are offered with love. In teachings of Lord Kapila also, Kapil Dev explains that if one does not have love for the Lord, if one does not have the mood to respect other devotees, and see the presence of Krishna in other devotees, then his worship is like oblation into ashes, right? Without fire. Just in ash you just put 1 kilo patmeda ghee. So it will not be of any use. So here, Jiva Goswami explains, the rules and regulations concerning deity worship and the listing of offense against the deities are all meant for helping one avoid precisely this kind of disrespectful or neglectful attitude towards the personality of Godhead in deity form. So this also I mentioned in the beginning. All offenses against the deity are based upon irreverence and disregard for Lord's position as master. Oh, deity, we cannot delay. We cannot compromise on cleanliness. We cannot mix prasadam and bhoga. We cannot do this, we cannot do that. All these rules and regulations one has to follow. So, all these are centered around developing a reverential attitude, making an offering which is very perfect, because he is the most perfect person, he deserves the best possible treatment. That's why he has hundreds of servants. In a day, morning 3:45, wake up till night, whatever, 9 o'clock resting, we have 24 devotees going and serving the deities. There are around 11 people doing backups, 6 people doing aartis, 7 people doing dressing, so like that. Here, in other temples there are more also. We have only 3 deities here. In other temples they have 7 deities, so that increases. Just here, daily 24 people, and each person is spending a couple of hours there. The minimum time for a smallest backup is also 1.5 to 2 hours. And you can see maximum duration, dressing 3 hours, and Rajboga 2 hours, like that. So 24 people, each person is spending on an average 2-3 hours. So it is more than 50-60 hours of man hours of seva engaged only for the deities here. And that is only for the daily seva. And there are so many devotees making wicks, making garlands, and there some 10 Matajis sit together, and then for 2-3 hours they make garlands every day, morning garlands and evening garlands. They stitch dresses, they make jewelry, purchasing jewelry. And cooking, how much cooking happens? I just told the number of people whom we schedule only. They are grahasthas managing other schedules of stitching garlands and making dresses, chaupatis managing. So like that, several man hours are spent on deity service. Why? That and that one service, there is absolutely no compromise. Today a speaker is not there, okay, we can have class tomorrow. Right? Or today so and so is not there, we can postpone later. But Vaikalika Aarti, 4 o'clock we have to do. Pujari is not there, we will postpone it to 6 o'clock. We'll merge Sandhya and Vaikalika. Right? We'll offer 2 plates of flowers instead of 1 plate. You cannot compromise like that. Right? You cannot compromise on timing. You cannot compromise on the offerings that you have promised to the deities. So morning, you have to offer Rabdi, Rasmalai, Rasgulla means you have to offer these 3. There is no compromise. And morning dressing means you have to offer. There is only extra. There is no bringing it down. Minimum, basic minimum you have to offer. Extra more you want to offer, you offer. Supal plan will go and cook. Sometimes that you offer as an extra offering. So all these are meant to avoid offenses and to develop a reverential attitude. So he is the most important person in the entire community here. Only he has AC. No one else has AC in GEV. Why? Because he is the most important person. Right? So, by doing deity worship, we are acknowledging Krishna's supremacy. And for someone who has absolutely no idea of this deity worship, he comes into the temple and you're serving this doll like this? What's so big deal about it? He will inquire. Then you get to speak about Krishna. So, deities become the center of attraction in any temple or in any community. And they become more popular. They are just 2 years old. They are popular all over the world now. But you may be staying here for 5 years, 10 years. You are not so popular. In just 2 days, he will become popular. One day, he will become popular. That is Krishna's popularity. Everybody knows. I keep getting SMSs and mails. Oh, the worship and Shringar at Radhavandanvari temple is so wonderful, so charming deities. Gauram Rusi keeps sending SMSs. Somebody will send him, he'll forward it to me. So,
all the offenses are also centered around having a neglectful and irreverential attitude towards the deities. So one has to eliminate that. However, by being so close to the deities and by getting regular opportunities to worship the deities, one may tend to neglect the devotees. One may tend to disrespect the devotees. So such kind of attitude is condemned in this verse and in various other verses in the previous cantos also. So Krishna doesn't like arrogance in his devotees, especially when that arrogance is exhibited towards other devotees. So for Krishna, devotees are very dear. It is Kanishtha mentality to respect the Lord and disrespect the devotees. So one can love the Lord, one should also love his devotees. If you love me dog. They say. Now, various articles and paraphernalia and process is described from now. Asana, process of asana. Read 19th verse.
After.
He has some question.
So you can read 4th canto, 24th chapter, 43-44 verses purport, long purport. Prabhupada gives there are two types of ways in which we worship the Lord. Pancharatrika Vidhi and Bhagavat Vidhi. It comes in Rudra Gita. So Pancharatrika Vidhi is according to so many rules and regulations through which Lord Narayan is worshipped, Lakshmi Narayan is worshipped. And Bhagavat Vidhi is for more advanced devotees. By that we worship Radha Krishna. However, in our sampradaya, Acharya has recommended that we worship Radha Krishna in Pancharatrika Vidhi. So Radha Krishna deities are there, but we worship them as if they are Lakshmi Narayana. So ultimately we are trying to develop our devotion to Radha Krishna. At the same time, we don't have that mood of Raganuga or Bhagavatas, like Yashoda Mai and all these exalted devotees, Vrajavasis. But we are aspiring to cultivate that mood. So we worship Radha Krishna in Pancharatrika Vidhi, following so many rules and regulations, and worship these deities with reverence, and eventually, if one is sincere enough, he will get that mood. Govardhan Shila is what we get from Giriraj, Giriraj Govardhan. I don't know much about it. I don't know the details. I'm more into managing the show. Not getting into technical details. Read 19th verse.
After cleansing himself and collecting all the paraphernalia.
Because without having a Raganuga mood, if we directly try to worship Radha Krishna like that Raganugas, that will make one sahajya. One need not imagine that. Worship Radha Krishna, no problem, that is our sampradaya. But do it in a reverential mood, especially in the neophyte stage. Yeah.
After cleansing himself and collecting all the paraphernalia, the worshipper should arrange his own seat with blades of kusha grass, whose tips point eastward. He should then sit facing either east or north, or else if the deity is fixed in one place, he should sit directly facing the deity.
Yeah, next.
The devotee should sanctify the various parts of his body by touching them and chanting mantras. He should do the same for my deity forms, and then with his hands he should clean the deity of old flowers and remnants of previous offerings. He should properly prepare the sacred pot and the vessel containing water for sprinkling. Mm. Then with the water of that prakshaniya vessel, he should sprinkle the area where the deity is being worshipped, the offerings that are going to be presented, and his own body. Next, he should decorate with various auspicious substances three vessels filled with water. The worshipper should then purify those three vessels.
Vessel is basically Achaman cup.
He should sanctify the vessel holding water for washing the Lord's feet by chanting the Hridyaya Nama, the vessel containing water for Argya by chanting the Shirshe Swaha, and the vessel containing water for washing the Lord's mouth by chanting Shikhai Vasat. Also the Gayatri Mantra should be chanted for all three vessels.
Sometimes you make offering plates. I think only Brahmanas make that. So in that you have Argya, Padya, then Achamaniya, all these are the Vikinga plate, or any arti. For any arti we have this Argya, Padya, Achamaniya, water to wash his mouth, that is mixed with some clove. In Abhishek, all these Argya, Padya will have a lot of paraphernalia inside it, some grains and some flower petals and some camphor, and all these are there. Padya is washing feet, water for washing feet. Then Achamaniya is you put some clove and then offer to wash mouth. Then Argya is what for Sarase Swaha? We'll figure out.
The worshipper should meditate upon my subtle form, which is situated within the worshipper's own body, now purified by air and fire, as the source of all living entities. This form of Lord is experienced by self-realized sages in the last part of the vibration of sacred syllable Om. Hmm.
The boat. It's Kusha spoon, they say. No, only this Argya Padya we use that spoon, and remaining regular spoon we use for our Achaman and all. So significance. Let Madhumadho come back from Mayapur Training Academy. He's the only person who is trained officially. So far as on 15th April deities were installed. 16th April we were given Brahman initiation. And 17th April, I was told, you manage the deity worship here. I was trying to understand how many artists are there and what are the names of these artists. Before I understand, I have to manage. I have to schedule people. So life went like that. I never got formal training. So decoration, somehow I have the natural inclination for it. So dressing I'm doing. Other things we'll learn. We'll arrange deity worship seminar from officially trained people.
The devotee conceives of the super soul whose presence surcharges the devotee's body in the form corresponding to his realization. Thus the devotee worships the Lord to his full capacity and becomes fully absorbed in him. By touching the various limbs of the deity and chanting appropriate mantras, the devotee should invite the super soul to join the deity's form, and then the devotee should worship me.
Next.
The worshipper should first imagine my seat as decorated with the personified deities of religion, knowledge, renunciation and opulence, and with my 9 spiritual energies. He should think of the Lord sitting places at 8 petaled lotus, effulgent on account of the saffron filament within its whirl. Then following the regulation of both the Vedas and the Tantras, he should offer me water for washing the feet, water for washing the mouth, argya and other items of worship. By this process, he achieves both material enjoyment and liberation.
Next.
One should worship in order the Lord's Sudarshan disc, his Panchajanya conch shell, his club, sword, bow, arrows and plow, his mushal weapon, his kostubha jam, his flower garland and the Srivatsa curl of hair on his chest.
Lord has 9 associates. One should worship them. Nanda, Sunanda, Garuda, Prachanda, Chanda, Mahavala, Bala, Kumuda and Kumudekshana. Next, Devatas.
One should worship the Lord's associate Nanda and Sunanda, Garuda, Prachanda, Chanda, Mahabala, Bala, Kumuda and Kumudekshana. With rituals such as Prokshana, one should worship Durga, Vinayak, Vyasan, Vishwaksena, the spiritual master and the various demigods. All these personalities should be in their proper places, facing the deity of the Lord.
This Durga and Vinayaka, they are not Durga and Vinayaka of this world, but they are eternal associates of the Lord. Names are same. Next.
The worshipper should bathe the deity every day as opulently as his assets permit, using water scented with sandalwood, ushira root, camphor, kumkum and agru. He should also chant various Vedic hymns such as Anuvak, known as Swarna Gharma, the Mahapurusha Vidya, the Purusha Shukta and various songs of Samveda such as Rajan and Rohinya. My devotees should then lovingly decorate me with clothing, a Brahmana thread, various ornaments, marks of tilaka and garlands, and he should anoint my body with fragrant oils, all in the prescribed manner. The worshipper should faithfully present me with water for washing my feet and mouth, fragrant oils, flowers and unbroken grains, along with incense, lamp and other offerings. Within his means, the devotee should arrange to offer me sugar candy, sweet rice, ghee, shashkuli, rice flour cakes, apup, various sweet cakes, modaka, steamed rice flour, dumplings filled with sweet coconut and sugar, samyav, wheat cakes made with ghee and milk and covered with sugar and spices, yogurt, vegetable soups and other palatable foods. On special occasions and daily, if possible, the deity should be massaged with ointment, shower, shown a mirror, offered a eucalyptus stick for brushing his teeth, bathed with 5 kinds of nectar, offered all kinds of opulent foods, and entertained with singing and dancing.
All this we do every day, whatever is mentioned in 35th verse.
In an arena constructed according to scriptural injunction.
So when someone is doing kirtan in front of the Lord, it's like entertaining the Lord with music. That is the purpose of doing a kirtan. You are singing for the pleasure of the deities. Yeah.
In an arena constructed according to scriptural injunctions, the devotee should perform a fire sacrifice, utilizing the sacred belt, the sacrificial pit and the altar mount. When igniting the sacrificial fire, the devotee should bring it to a blazing blaze with wood piled up by his own hands. After spreading kusha grass on ground and sprinkling it with water, one should perform the anvadhan ritual according to prescribed rules. Then one should arrange the items to be offered as oblations and should sanctify them with water from sprinkling vessel. The worshipper should next meditate upon me within the fire.
Next.
The intelligent devotee should meditate upon that form of the Lord whose color is like molten gold, whose form arms are resplendent with the conch shell disc club lotus flower, and who is always peaceful and dressed in a garment colored like the filaments within a lotus flower. His helmet, bracelets, belt and fine arm ornament shine brilliantly. The symbol of Srivatsa is on his chest, along with glowing Kostubha gem and a garland of forest flowers. The devotee should then worship that Lord by taking pieces of firewood soaked in the sacrificial ghee and throwing them into the fire. He should perform the ritual of aghar, presenting into the fire the various items of oblation drenched in ghee. He should then offer to 16 demigods, beginning with Yamraj, the oblations called Swishtikrit, reciting the basic mantras of each deity and the 16-line Purushukta hymn. Pouring one oblation after each line of Purushukta, he should utter the particular mantra naming each deity. Having worshipped the Lord in sacrificial fire, The devotee should offer his obeisances to the Lord's personal associates by bowing down and should then present offerings to them. He should then chant quietly the Mool Mantra of the deity of the Lord, remembering the absolute truth of the Supreme Personality, Narayan. Once again, he should offer the deity water for washing his mouth and he should give the remnants of the Lord's food to Vishwaksen. Then he should present the deity with fragrant perfume for the mouth and prepared betel nut.
The mood of festivity is described in 44th verse.
Singing along with others, chanting loudly and dancing, acting out my transcendental pastime and hearing and telling stories about me, the devotee should for some time absorb himself in such festivity. The devotee should offer homage to the Lord with all kinds of hymns and prayers, both from the Puranas and from other ancient scriptures, and also from ordinary traditions, praying, O Lord, please be merciful to me. He should fall down flat like a rod to offer his obeisances. Placing his head at the feet of the deity, he should then stand with folding hands before the Lord and pray, O my Lord, please protect me, who am surrendered unto you. I am most fearful of this ocean of material existence, standing as I am in the mouth of death. Praying in this way, the devotee should respectfully place upon his head the remnants I offered, to him, and if particular deity is meant to be sent away at the end of the worship, then this should be performed. The devotee once again placing the light of the deity's presence inside the light of the lotus within his own heart. Whenever one develops faith in me, in my form as deity or in other bona fide manifestation, one should worship me in that form. I certainly exist both within all living, within all creatures, beings and created beings, and also separately in my original form, since I am the supreme soul of all.
So the Lord is worshipped according to the faith of a particular worshipper. By regulated, faithful worship, one gradually understands that the deity is completely non-different from the Supreme Lord Himself.
By worshipping me,
from here we will see some rewards for deity worship and punishment if there is some offense.
By worshipping me through the various methods prescribed in the Vedas and Tantras, one will gain from me his desired perfection in both this life and the next. The devotee should more fully establish my deity by solidly constructing a temple along with beautiful gardens. This garden should be set aside to provide flower for the regular daily worship, special deity procession and holiday observances. One who offers the deity gifts of land, markets, cities and villages, so that the regular deity worship and special festival of the deity may go on continually, will achieve opulence equal to my own.
So this is a secondary result which is mentioned to attract people towards Krishna. Oh, this is what I will get? Okay, I will give donation. So some of these verses are used on our donation pamphlets also. So this is not the ultimate purpose of deity worship. Next.
By installing the deity of the Lord, one becomes king of the entire earth. By building a temple for the Lord, one becomes ruler of the three worlds. By worshipping and serving the deity, one goes to the planet of Lord Brahma. And by performing all three of these activities, one achieves a transcendental form like my own.
So some of these people can get attracted to these kind of promises. But the ultimate purpose of deity worship is mentioned in 53rd verse.
But one who simply engages in devotional service with no consideration of fruitive results attains me. Thus, whoever worships me according to the process I have described will ultimately attain pure devotional service unto me.
So this is the ultimate benefit. Mameva nirapekshenya bhakti yogena vindati bhakti yogam salabhata evam yaha pujayetamam. So anyone who steals the property of the demigods or the Brahmanas, whether originally given to them by himself or someone else, must live as a worm in stool for 100 million years. Once you give charity and then take it away, then this is a punishment. Not only the performer of the theft, but also anyone who assists him, instigates the crime, or simply approves of it must also share the reaction in the next life. According to their degree of participation, they each must suffer an appropriate consequence. So that is about deity worship in brief. So we don't have much to elaborate. So we'll start Bhakti Yoga after a break.
Hare Krishna.
We cannot complete this chapter. Whatever is possible, we will do.
Shri Uddhava Uvacha
Sudustarami
Vamanye Yogacharyam Anatmanah Yathanjasa Puman Siddhyed Yanme Bhuryanjasachyuta.
Shri Uddhava said,
after hearing Jnana Yoga, Uddhava felt that this yoga is too difficult for a person like me to perform. So please say something easier. Right? Then he describes his bhakti yoga. Okay, please speak in simple terms, he says.
Prayasa pundarikas pundarikaksham yunjato yogi no manaham vishidantya samadhanam mano nigraha karshitaha.
O Lotus Eyed Lord, generally those yogis who try to study the mind experience frustration because of their inability to perfect the state of trance. Thus they weary in their attempt to bring the mind under control.
So why other processes are difficult? Because it's not so easy to control one's mind and senses. So there is a struggle. Yatpada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karmashayam grathitam udgrathayanti santaha tadvanna riktamatayo yatayo piruddha sroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. People who are other than bhakti yogis, they cannot even control their minds, what to speak of uprooting the fruitive desires. Everyone knows this verse, knows the meaning of this verse. Yad hai? Yad nahi? Worth kenda, haan. इतना तो याद है. Who tells whom? Kumara sir telling. So that's why it's very difficult to bring them under control. For bhakti yoga, it's very easy. Because in bhakti yoga, emphasis is not controlling. Emphasis is in engaging. So in other yogas, you control the mind. And do what? Do nothing. But here, you control the mind by engaging these senses in Krishna's service. So senses are controlled, mind is controlled. So mind is given a better engagement. Senses are given a better engagement, which is more active. Right? Active engagement. You just sit and, oh yeah, in other yogas there is meditation on the Lord's form, meditation on pastimes. How long you can meditate? Senses are free, right? So senses need some engagement. So senses, when they are engaged, then mind also will go along with it. Like that. So it's the other way.
Athata ananda dugham padambujam hamsaha sharanyen aravinda lochana sukham nu visveshvara yoga karmabhi Tvanmayayami vihitana manina.
Therefore, O lotus-eyed Lord of the universe, swan-like men happily take shelter of your lotus feet, the source of all transcendental ecstasy. But those who take pride in their accomplishment in yoga and karma fail to take shelter of you and are defeated by your illusory energy.
Another thing is, other paths, they miss the shelter of Lord's lotus feet. Bhakti yoga is dependent on taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. So, one, the process in itself is not effective because there is no engagement for the senses. Second, there is no support from a superior power. They are dependent on their own limited powers. So, the greater advantage of obediently surrendering to the Supreme Lord is emphasized here. Generally, the yogis and fruity workers are proud of their so-called achievements,
and are more attracted to their own endeavor than to the Lord himself. By humbly taking shelter of the Lord, one can advance easily and quickly to the path of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is personally helping. Second, the senses, the restless senses have a good engagement.
Kim chitramachyuta tavai tadasesha bandhoam dasheshvananya saraneshu yadatma sattvam yorochayat saha mrgaihi swayam ishwarangam Srimat Kirita Tatapidita Padapitaham.
My dear infallible Lord, it is not very astonishing that you intimately approach your servants who have taken exclusive shelter of you. After all, during your appearance at Lord Ramchandra, even while great demigods like Brahma were vowing to place the effulgent tips of their helmets upon the cushion where your lotus feet rested, you displayed special affection for monkeys such as Hanuman because they had taken exclusive shelter of you.
So in the third verse, Uddhava emphasized shelter, taking shelter of Lord's lotus feet. In the fourth verse, he is giving some examples also. You have given shelter to even monkeys. Sugriva took shelter. Krishna, Ram gave shelter to demon also, Vibhishan. Of course, he's a devotee in spirit, but he belongs to a demoniac race. Still he gave. So Hanumanji, a monkey, he got shelter. So demigods got shelter, like Brahmaji. So how they are taking shelter? Srimat Kirita Tatapidita Padapitaha. Padapitaha means Krishna places his lotus feet on a stool, a small table. That is called Peetham. See this. Pada Peetha, this painting. So, all the great kings will come and offer their obeisances and put their kirita. Kirita is their crown. Their crowns are on the Pada Peetha of Krishna. Means, they took shelter of Krishna. They surrendered to Krishna. They accepted their subordinate position in front of Krishna. So, that is explained here. You displayed special affection to such people. So it's not very astonishing that you are intimately, you intimately approach your servants who have taken exclusive shelter of you. The devotees become completely successful by Lord's causeless mercy. Kritino bhuvima, esya anuvritya kritino bhuvima, anuvritya.
By accepting his instructions and executing them, one can become successful. Sometimes Krishna accepts the position of a subservient of such great devotees, as with Nanda Maharaj, gopis. So Krishna carries the chappal of Nanda Maharaj on his head and then brings. Gopis will tell him, I'll give you banana, you dance and clap. So Krishna dances just for that banana. So Bali Maharaj, Krishna becomes a doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. All the demigods like Brahma were standing in line to touch their helmets to the Lord's foot cushion. Still, Rama allowed his most intimate friendship to subhumans. Demigods are running behind him, and Krishna is running behind monkeys. Rama is running behind monkeys. Means Rama is giving shelter to them. So similarly, Krishna's affection for the deer and cows and even the trees of Vrindavan is very well known. In the Venu Gita, you see Krishna's reciprocation with all the cows and deer and bucks, birds, even the trees. Yatava janma safalyam dehinam ihadehishu. So further, Lord gladly drove the chariot of Arjuna, sarathya parishada sakyana, sevana sakya dautya. And he becomes faithful subordinate to King Yudhishthira. Krishna is going out of Hastinapur. He offers obeisance to Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira says, I am feeling very bad because so many people are killed because of me. Then Krishna stays back. He changes his schedule and stays back to take care of Yudhishthir and give him counseling. Still it doesn't work. He takes him to Bhishma. Then it works. Then Krishna stays back in Yudhishthir's kingdom to make him execute some horse sacrifices. Aswamedha Yajnas. He assists. And when he is doing some other sacrifice, Krishna will be there to wash the feet of the guests who are coming. So all this Krishna does.
All these devotees are represented here by Sri Uddhava, who frankly informs the Lord that the sophisticated systems of philosophical speculation, Jnana Yoga, and mystic yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, are not appealing for one who has developed a taste for direct loving service to the Lord.
Tvam tva akhilatma daiteshwaram ashritanam sarvarthadam svakrita visrujeta yokonu kova bhajet kim api vismritayenu bhutyai kim va bhavenna tava padara jojushamnah.
Who then could dare reject you, the very soul, the most dear object of worship, and the supreme lord of all, you who give all possible perfection to the devotees who take shelter of you? Who could be so ungrateful, knowing the benefits you bestow? Who would reject you and accept something for the sake of material enjoyment, which simply leads to forgetfulness of you? And what lack is there for us who are engaged in the service of the dust of your lotus feet?
So in several ways, Uddhava is saying in this verse that no one can avoid shelter of Krishna. So it's only a foolish person, an intelligent person, who rejects the shelter of Krishna, who becomes ungrateful to Krishna. Tvam tvakhilatma daiteshwaram ashritanam. Daita, your most dear. Ishwaram, supreme controller. Ashritanam. So one who has taken shelter of you, Krishna becomes very compassionate upon him. Then sarvarthadam. Krishna gives all purposes, all perfections. Sarvarthadam. Svakrita vid visrijeta konu. Svakrita, the benefit you have given, with, who knows, visrijena konu, who can reject him? If one can understand that you are the ultimate beneficiary, or you can cause the maximum possible benefit to any living entity, how can he reject you and run behind other people who cannot cause much benefit? Right? Kova bhajet. Kimapi vismritaye nu bhutyai kimva bhavenna tatapada rajo jushamnaha. So, who would reject and who would become ungrateful just for the sake of material enjoyment? So, like that he says, thus Krishna conscious person knows that he will obtain all perfection of life simply by surrendering to the devotional service process. Yavai sadhana sampattihi purushartha chatushtaye taya vina tad apnoti naro narayanashraya. So whatever among the four goals of human life can be achieved by various spiritual practices is automatically achieved without such endeavors by one who has taken shelter of Narayana. Naro narayanashraya, by accepting ashraya, shelter of Narayana, one can achieve anything possible. Next, sixth verse.
Naivopayancha pacitam kavayastavesha brahmayushapi krutam ruddhamudah smaranta yontarbahistanubhritam ashubham vidhunvan Acharya Chaitya Vipusha Swagatim Vayanti.
O my Lord, transcendental poets and experts in spiritual science could not fully express their indebtedness to you, even if they were endowed with the prolonged life of Brahma. For you appear in two features, externally as the Acharya and internally as the Supersoul, to deliver the embodied being, living beings, by directing him how to come to you.
Naivopayantyapachitam kavayastavesha apachitam. So people cannot sufficiently express their gratitude to Krishna. Even in a lifetime of Brahma, Krishna says, gopis, he tells them, naparayeham niravadhyasamvijam. Even in
A lifetime of Brahma, I cannot repay you. No, the other way around. Uddhava is saying that such great souls, Vibhudha, such great people also, learned Kavayaha. Kavayaha means learned devotees. They cannot repay you for what you have done for them. Even in within the lifetime of Brahma also, it is not sufficient to render service to Krishna. How can one be satiated and say that enough, both seva kar diya me, right? Enough for this lifetime, enough for this day. So how much ever you serve Krishna, it is under performance. Because we are acting way below our capacity. We have so much of capacity to love Krishna, but because of this false ego, we are being pressurized not to love Krishna and not to serve Krishna. False ego is pressurizing us to act against our innate nature of loving Krishna and serving Krishna. Because of that pressure created by false ego, we are unable to perform properly. Our internal love for Krishna remained unexpressed for millions of lifetimes, since time immemorial. Right? We have not sufficiently expressed our love for Krishna, all because of this stupid false ego coming. So we want to serve Krishna, and then false ego comes and says, you are not servant of Krishna, you are husband of that woman, or you are son of this father, or you are Indian, you are American, you are male, you are female. So all these false identities. And suddenly false ego comes and says, this belongs to you, not Krishna. That belongs to you, not towards Krishna. So like that, the false ego just induces a false identity and a false feeling of possessiveness in the living entity, and blocks his service and blocks the soul's expression of gratitude towards Krishna. So he cannot express. So even if one realizes his real identity and makes an attempt to express his gratitude to Krishna, still he cannot sufficiently do it. Even if you give him full time of Brahmaji's lifespan, dviparartha, so each day is 1,000 Divya Yugas, like that 1,000 into 100, those many Divya Yugas you give to him, still he cannot sufficiently express his gratitude. He cannot enumerate the glories of Lord also. Even Sesha is trying to glorify the Lord, he could not glorify. Similarly, whatever may be the magnitude and quantity of opportunities we may get to serve Krishna, that is less only. We can never say that I have done enough service, I have done a lot of service. That will never happen. What we are doing is insignificant. That realization one should have, that conviction one should have. Then only he will take up more service. Otherwise, Prabhu, seva ho gaya Prabhu. I can't do anymore. Of course, we have to be practical. I'm not eliminating the practical considerations, considering our human body and 24 hours time duration and all, and other limitations, resources, etc., etc. But I'm telling, in the ultimate sense, we cannot sufficiently serve Krishna. We cannot sufficiently express our gratitude to Krishna. So, yontar bahistanubhritam ashubham vidhunvan. So, Lord appears internally and externally. Antar bahir. Yo antar bahir tanubhritam. Tanubhritam means embodied beings. Ashubham vidhunvan. By appearing internally and externally, he will completely dissipate all contamination. Ashubham. Whatever is inauspicious, whatever is filthy in the heart, he will completely remove. And what are those two forms in which Lord appears? Antar bahir, acharya, chaitya. As spiritual master within and without. As super soul and guru. So in these two forms he appears. Acharya, chaitya, vapusha, swagatim vayanti. And he shows his own path. Oh, this is how you have to approach me. You are stuck up here. You have to reach there, spiritual world. And how he will reach? From within, super soul guides. From without, spiritual master guides. This is how we have to go. According to Jiva Goswami, Krishna is 10 million times more dear to a devotee than life itself. 10 million times. A number is given. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur,
even by rendering devotional service for the total duration of 1000 universal creations, it's not one Brahmaji's lifetime. One Brahmaji's lifetime multiplied by 1000. That is this. 1000 universal creations. A devotee cannot repay the debt he feels to the Lord for having awarded him loving service to the Lord's lotus feet. When somebody receives an opportunity to render service to Krishna, that is a great benediction. That is a great reward. Oh, you gave me this opportunity to serve you, and you gave me, I am so insignificant, so I cannot repay you. I cannot sufficiently express this gratitude to you. For this reward, I will engage in service for 1000 universal creation periods, and still I won't be able to express my gratitude sufficiently. That is the extent to which a devotee feels obliged to serve Krishna, feels gratitude to serve Krishna. So this verse is very instructive.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
So you can read the translation.
Sukhdev Goswami said, "This question by most affectionate Uddhava, Lord Krishna, the supreme controller of all controllers, who takes the entire universe as his plaything and assume the three forms of Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, began to reply lovingly, displaying his all-attractive smile."
Krishna smilingly replied. So what did he say? "Yes, I shall describe to you the principles of devotion to me, by executing which a mortal human being will conquer unconquerable death. If one performs this bhakti towards the Lord, mama dharman sumangalan, it creates all auspiciousness. Yan shraddhada shraddhaya charan mrtyo, with faith one has to follow this, then mrtyum jayati durjayam. It is durjayam, it's very difficult to conquer this death. Death is insurmountable, but he can conquer it by serving the Lord with devotion, with faith.
Kuryat sarvani karmani madartham shanakaismaran mai arpita manaschitto madharmatma manoratihi.
Always remembering me, one should perform all his duties for me without becoming impetuous. With mind and intelligence offered to me, one should fix his mind in the attraction to my devotional service."
Fix your mind in your attraction to devotional service. Sometimes one gets very attracted to some service, right? Oh, somebody some people come into the temple, he gets attracted to deities. He gets attracted to the chanting of the holy name, kirtan going on. He may get attracted to the Bhagavatam class that is happening. He may enter Vrindavan forest, do some parikrama, he may get attracted to the abode. And as soon as he goes out into the atmosphere of material world, suddenly these thoughts are gone, and then he will be overwhelmed with some other thoughts. So when a feeling of attachment or attraction towards some devotional element is appearing in our heart, one has to preserve it, one has to make an endeavor to increase it and nourish that feeling and then make it grow. Oh, today I am feeling some attraction, more attraction towards chanting. So let me retain this feeling, let me maintain this feeling, let me increase this. Today I am able to do this service nicely, okay. Let me continue this decorum and then increase my ability, increase my intensity in doing this service. So like that, one has to preserve all these things. One should fix one's mind. Because at some times Krishna gives us the taste, some glimpse of the bliss in devotional service. When Krishna is giving that, he gives a little bit like this. You just catch it and then keep it with you only. Don't give it back. Right? When Krishna is advertising and showing a promo, you show your entu to see the full movie. You saw a promo and then attentively you saw the promo and then take it fine. And then you continue with it. Then promo is also forgotten. And movie, having a desire to see the main movie also is not there. When promo is caught, the more attentively you see the promo, the more fine, minute details you observe in the promo, the more
excited you are to see the full movie, right? So Krishna gives us glimpses of bliss in bhakti. Sometimes when we do some service, that's a very wonderful, satisfying experience, nourishing experience. So we need to catch those and preserve those and then try to increase them, right? Nourish them. Always remember me. One should perform all his duties for me without becoming impetuous. With mind and intelligence offered to me, one should fix his mind in attraction to my devotional service. Purport is very wonderful. Madharmatma manoratihi means that all of one's love and affection should be devoted to pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not indicated here that one should try to relish selfish satisfaction in devotional service. Important. It's not that one is relishing selfish satisfaction, but rather one should be attracted to the Lord's own satisfaction. I am doing this service not for my satisfaction, but for Krishna's satisfaction. This gives pleasure to Krishna, and that attempt and that intention to give pleasure to Krishna will give pleasure to me. But if our original intent itself is, I will get pleasure by doing this, then Krishna's pleasure will become secondary. Why this service is exciting me? Because by doing this service, I can excite Krishna. I can excite my guru. If he gets excited, a byproduct is my happiness. I find my happiness in seeing them happy. That is the main thing. That is the main focus of a devotee. If one thinks about his own happiness and that becomes the priority, and then guru's happiness or Krishna's happiness becomes second priority, then it's difficult. Right? It is not indicated here that one should try to relish selfish satisfaction in devotional service, but rather one should be attracted to the Lord's own satisfaction, which one achieves by faithfully executing the order of bona fide spiritual master, coming in disciplic succession from Krishna himself. So ultimately it boils down to giving more preference to what Guru says than what my mind says, what my intelligence says, what my ego says. So if we keep aside the demands of our gross and subtle bodies and then try to satisfy the demands of the spiritual master, there is an opportunity to purify our gross and subtle bodies. There is an opportunity to transform the material aspects of our mind, intelligence and ego by giving preference to the orders of Guru. Attachment to one's own satisfaction, even within devotional service, is materialistic. Whereas attachment to satisfaction of the Lord is pure spiritual emotion. Right? So Krishna's satisfaction by spiritual master's order, that is the priority, not satisfaction for the self. Because if we give priority to Krishna's satisfaction, which is possible by executing Guru's orders, we will automatically be satisfied. We don't have to even think about it. 10th verse. Deshan punyan ashrayeta madbhaktaihi sadubhisritan devasura manushyeshu madbhakta charitanicha.
One should take shelter of holy places where my saintly devotees reside, and one should be guided by exemplary activities of my devotees who appear among the demigods, demons and human beings.
So Krishna's devotees appear in various forms. They appear as demigods. Narada Muni is a Devarshi. Demons, Prahlad Maharaj, he was born in a demoniac family. Human beings, Ambarish Maharaj, he was born as a human being. So like that, devotees are accessible in all species. You just go and associate with them. One should take shelter of devotees, exemplary activities and also the holy places where devotees reside. Thus one will remain safe on the path of devotional service.
पृथक सत्रेण वा मह्यम पर्वयात्रा महोत्सवान् कारयेद् गीत नृत्यादेर् महाराजा विभूतिभिः.
Either alone or in public gatherings, with singing, dancing and other exhibition of royal opulence, one should arrange to celebrate those holy days, ceremonies and festivals set aside especially for my worship.
Enjoy festivals. Bhakti Yoga also includes celebrating festivals. What is that verse in 5th canto? Nayatra vaikuntha katha sudhapaga न साधवो भागवतास्तदाश्रयः न यत्र यज्ञेश मखा महोत्सव सूर्येपि लोकोऽपि न वै ससेव्यताम्. द प्लेस वेर द नेक्टेरियन रिवर ऑफ कृष्ण कथा इज नॉट फ्लोइंग, द प्लेस वेर देर आर नो डिवोटीज हु आर टेकिंग शेल्टर ऑफ दैट नेक्टेरियन रिवर, एंड द प्लेस वेर दिस काइंड ऑफ सेलिब्रेशंस ऑफ फेस्टिवल्स, जन्माष्टमी, राधाष्टमी, नरसिंह चतुर्दशी, गौर पूर्णिमा, नित्यानंद त्रयोदशी, right, Advaitacharya appearance day, today is Jayadeva Goswami appearance day. So festivals connected with the lords and lords incarnations and his devotees, so they are very nourishing. So such places are not meant to be lived, such places are meant for our living. Okay, next 12th verse.
मामेव सर्वभूतेषु
बहिरंतर अपावृतम्
ईक्षेतात्मनि चात्मानम्
यथाखम् अमलाशयः.
With a pure heart one should see me, the supreme soul within all beings and also within oneself, to be both unblemished by anything material and also present everywhere, both externally and internally, just like the omnipresent sky.
So Krishna also describes some activities of jnana to attract them to the path of bhakti. So Lord has spoken this present verse to attract those who are inclined towards philosophical speculation about the absolute truth. So such transcendental scholars searching for the ultimate unity will be attracted by the Lord's manifestation described here. So what is he saying? Mam eva sarvabhuteshu bahir antar apavritam. It's me only who is there within and without. So ikshet atma jatmanam yathakam amarashayah. So just like sky. Sky is there within and sky is there without also. Next.
Iti sarvani bhutani मद्भावेन महाद्युते सभाजयन् मन्यमानो ज्ञानं केवलमाश्रितः ब्राह्मणे पुक्कसेस्तेने ब्रह्मण्येर्के स्फुलिङ्गके अक्रूरे क्रूररे क्रूरके चैव समदृक्पंडितो मतः.
O brilliant Uddhava, one who thus views all living entity with the idea that I am present within each of them, and who by taking shelter of this divine knowledge offers due respect to everyone, is considered actually wise. Such a man sees equally the Brahmana and the outcast, the thief and the charitable promoter of Brahmanical culture, the sun and the tiny sparks of fire, the gentle and the cruel.
So in the 12th verse, Krishna said about his omnipresence, I am within, I am without, like sky. Now he is saying about the equal vision of people, of devotees. One who sees me in all living entities and offers due respect to everyone is considered wise. And so many living entities of opposite natures are mentioned here. He says, Brahmane pukkase stene. Right? High class Brahmana, low class aborigine. Stena is thief, one who steals property, and one who respects Brahmanical culture. So like that, different opposite things are mentioned. But for a Pandita, they are all samadarshina. So he sees everyone. Vidyavene sampanno brahmane govahastini. So ordinarily the ability to distinguish between such opposites qualifies one as intelligent. How then can the Lord state that ignoring such obvious differences establishes one as a wise man? Now, you have some power of discrimination. You can discriminate, this is good, this is bad. Then you are considered intelligent. But Krishna is saying, you see all of them equally. Then you are wise. So answer is given by the Lord in Madhbhavena. A wise person sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead within every being. When you say equality, it's not that you are saying everything is one. The equality is in that sense that everything is connected with Krishna. Everything is an energy of Krishna. Everything has a relationship with Krishna. So that is the equal vision. Therefore, although externally perceiving and dealing with the varieties of material situations, a wise man is more impressed by and concerned with the overwhelming unity of all existence, which is based on the presence of the Supreme Lord within everything. So everything is an energy of the Lord. Lord is present in everything. And everything is happening by the will of the Lord. So a devotee can perceive happiness and distress, curse and blessing, swarga and naraka, same. They are not same. They are totally opposite things, but he considers them same because they are existing by Lord's will. He sees Lord's hand behind all these happenings. He sees Lord's presence in all these objects. Whether he sees objects or situations, he sees Krishna there, Krishna's presence there, Krishna's sanction. So, a truly wise person is not limited to this superficial material discrimination. This is clear.
Nareshva bhikshnam madbhavam pumso bhavayato chirat spardhasuya tiraskarah sahankara viyantihi.
For him who constantly meditates upon my presence within all persons, the bad tendency of rivalry, envy and abusiveness along with false ego are very quickly destroyed.
Nareshu abhikshnam madbhavam. Madbhavam is the keyword in the previous verse also and now also. Means the presence of, personal presence of the Lord. Perceiving that. Pumso bhavayato achirat spardha asuya tiraskaraha sa ahankara vayantihi. So he is oblivious to these bad tendencies of spardha. Spardha means competition, rivalry. Then asuya, envy. Then tiraskaraha. Tiraskara means rejecting something, neglecting, abusing something. Then sa ahankara, along with false ego. They are all destroyed. So these things don't exist for such a person. We conditioned souls tend to feel rivalry towards equals, envy towards superior. So all these feelings can exist in relation to different kinds of people. That is mentioned here. Rivalry towards equals, envy towards superior, and desire to belittle subordinates. Right? Abusiveness. So spardha is with equals, asuya with superiors, tiraskara with inferiors. So all this because of false ego. These contaminated propensities, along with their very basis false ego, can be quickly vanquished by madbhavam, by meditating on the Lord, Lord's existence within every living being, Lord's sanction behind every happening. Oh Krishna, why he is progressing so much? Why he is becoming so superior? Why he is becoming so prominent? I feel envious of him. But if a devotee considers that it's only because of Krishna's sanction that he is in that position, why should I feel envious of him? And why he is competing with me? So between equals there is a lot of competition. Inferiors means why is he behaving like this? There is some kind of judgmental mentality. So all this can be seen in a proper way, right perspective, provided one sees Krishna's hand behind all of them. One has certain role to play in different situations. So he should do his duty, but whatever happens, it happens by Krishna's will. That understanding also one should have. 16th verse.
Vishrujya smayamanam svan drisham vridam cha daihikim praname dandavad bhumav ashvachandala gokharam.
Disregarding the ridicules of one's companions, one should give up the bodily conception and its accompanying embarrassment. One should offer obeisances before all, even the dogs, outcasts, cows and asses, falling flat upon the ground like a rod.
So, that humility and amanina manadena, trying to give respect to others, that is emphasized here. A devotee does not foolishly think that cow and ass are God, but rather the devotee sees that Lord is within all creatures, and on this higher spiritual plane, he does not discriminate. The equality amongst all living entities is that they are all parts and parcels of Krishna. Otherwise, cow is different, ass is different. You don't take ass milk and make a sandesh out of it. You take only cow's milk. So one should not lose discrimination. One should see the gradation. Ass will give milk, no? I don't know. It's not held up, I don't know. Never discussed. So, it's medicine? Okay. So one should see everyone's connection with Krishna. It's the feeling of the heart, not necessarily mechanically and externally, physically one may do it. Basically, it's the spirit of respecting every living entity by identifying its connection with Krishna. Make sense? So that respect is further emphasized in the next verse.
Yavat sarveshu bhuteshu madbhavo nopajayate tavadevam upasitam vanmanaha kaya vrittibhihi.
Until one has fully developed the ability to see me within all living beings, one must continue to worship me by this process with the activities of his speech, mind and body.
So until one has developed the ability to see me within all living beings, because what he has mentioned till now is a very high stage. So till one comes to that stage, till one genuinely respects all other living entities, so one must continue to worship me by this process with the body, mind and speech. Unless one fully realizes the Supreme Lord within all beings, he should continue the process of offering obeisances to all creatures. So although one may not be able to factually fall down on the ground before all creatures, at least within his mind or by his words, one should offer respect to all living beings. This will accelerate the devotee's self-realization.
Sarvam brahmatmakam tasya vidyayatma manishaya paripashyan uparamet sarvato mukta samshaya.
By such transcendental knowledge of the all-pervading personality of Godhead, one is able to see the absolute truth everywhere. Freed thus from all doubts, one gives up fruitive activities.
Indeed, I consider this process of using one's mind, words and bodily functions for realizing me within all living beings to be the best possible method for spiritual enlightenment. So in the 18th verse, actually three results are discussed. Paripashyan, seeing the Lord everywhere. Uparamet, gives up fruitive activities. Mukta samsaya, free from all doubts. This is there in your notes also, the table.
20. Nahyangopakramet dhamso madharmasyodhavanvapi maya vyavasita samyan nirgunaitvat anasishaham.
My dear Uddhava, because I have personally established it, this process of devotional service unto me is transcendental and free from any material motivation. Certainly a devotee never offers even the slightest loss by adopting this process.
So Krishna is now emphasizing the authenticity of this process of bhakti. Nahi angopakrame dhvamso madharma madharmasyodhudhavanvapi. So indeed, my dear Uddhava, I have emphasized this. I have established this. Maya vyavasitaha samyak. Maya vyavasthitaha. Right, vyavasitaha. I have established this process. I have authorized this. I have personally established this. So this is transcendental. It is free from any material motivation. And certainly, there is no loss by adopting this process. One who serves the Lord without personal motivation can never be defeated in his progress. And we'll go back to Godhead. Ahaituki apratihata. Without any ulterior motives, if one performs devotional service, he will attain Lord. So there is no doubt. Lord is personally establishing this fact. Yo yo mai pare dharmaham. Kalpyate nishvalaya chet tadayaso nirarthasyad bhayadir ivasattama.
O Uddhava, greatest of saints, in a dangerous situation an ordinary person cries, becomes fearful and laments, although such useless emotions do not change the situation. But activities offered to me without personal motivation, even if they are externally useless, amount to the actual process of religion.
So, a fearful person may lament by seeing some mishap in his life. Although he laments, he cannot rectify the situation. But that lamentation becomes useless. On the other hand, within the realm of devotional service, if one does some service, some activity, apparently the result of that activity or that thing may not be utilized, but still he has gained that eternal credit of rendering that service. One day we were doing this chapatis, maybe some 10 years back or 8 years back. So then the in charge came and said, today is not chapatis, it's puris. Puri. You have to make smaller balls, something like that, he said. Then, 1 hour we have been making all these big chapatis and then we have to mix the whole thing and then make smaller balls, smaller things. Then he also said, whatever endeavor you have done, that service is accepted. You have made devotional progress. Now you can start puri. Of course, when you are the coordinator, you need not be miscommunicating things and all that. That's a different lesson. But whatever sincerity you exhibited in rendering any service, that is there. That's an eternal credit you have invested, right? So interest is increasing for it. So Krishna noticed that. So basically, we should not be attached to a feeling of getting recognition for what we have done. Sometimes what we have done may or may not be utilized. One day I had made a 450 slides presentation, sitting day and night. I don't know whether someone has double-clicked on it so far. So it happens. It's a part of the service. Sometimes, okay, now you construct this. So he would construct nicely. And the authority will come and say, I think this has to be repaired this way, that way. Instead of doing these 10 repairs, todopura, just destroy this and reconstruct something else. If that could happen with buildings, why can't it happen with books? And why can't it happen with small documents? Why can't it happen with our half an hour of effort in making chapati or puri? So one should not be attached to how my work is being utilized. Outside, there is a lot of emphasis given to this. oh, my man-hours, so many man-hours have gone to make this happen. And how can this be wasted? And once you come and then work like this, you have to get the benefit. You have to get the daily labor charge. But bhakti doesn't work like that. So whatever sincerity you have shown, for that you will get. Krishna will notice. But whatever work you have done, whether it is will be accepted or not, depends on the circumstances. One should be attached to the principle of rendering service, not to the fact that whether I am being utilized properly or not. Am I being wasted? My efforts are being wasted? My skills are being wasted? Am I being underutilized? Am I better off somewhere? Yeah, one may have to consider all this. But more higher than that is, I am getting an opportunity to render service. Right? Let me take pleasure in that. Let me not fight for whatever has happened so far, even if my efforts have gone waste, something like that. But that doesn't eliminate the need to properly utilize manpower and resources. One should not be spaced out, one should not be disorganized and all that. But on the side of a servant, from the side of a devotee, I'm just mentioning this point. Right? But you are the coordinator, then you have to make sure that others' time doesn't get wasted. Right? There is no slightest loss by adopting this process. Krishna is emphasizing. There is no loss. So one who serves the Lord without personal motivation can never be defeated in his progress and will certainly go back to Godhead. So we all is there within our hands is we need to make sure that I don't have any personal motivation in doing this service. In whatever service I am doing, there is no personal agenda there. That must we ensure. And then make sure that you are serving a devotee, right? Not a materialistic person. A devotee who is connected with the parampara. So when that is there, then rest of the things are secondary, right? Yo yo mayi pare dharma kalpyate nishvala yachet. Oh, sorry. Yesha buddhi matam buddhir, manisha cha manishinam, yat satyam anrute neha, martyena apnoti mamrutam.
This process,
one minute, we have not discussed the purport. We have discussed already, but let's read once again. Even the most insignificant activity when offered to the Supreme Lord without personal desire can elevate one to the perfection of spiritual life. Actually, Krishna always protects and maintains his devotee, but if a devotee cries to the Lord for protection or maintenance, desiring to continue his devotional service unimpeded, Krishna accepts such apparently unnecessary appeals to be the highest religious process. Apparently unnecessary appeals. I am already protecting you. Why are you crying for protection? He doesn't say that. It's redundant. He doesn't say that. He says that is the highest perfection. So basically Krishna is giving importance to that mood of a devotee, of considering oneself insignificant, unqualified, or not deserving this opportunity, or not having the capability to maintain himself or protect himself. So the mood of utter dependence upon Krishna, Krishna relishes that. So that's what these purports are teaching us. Now read the 22nd translation.
This process is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent and the cleverness of the most clever. For by following it, one can in this very life make use of the temporary and unreal to achieve me the eternal reality.
So this process is the supreme intelligence of the intelligent. Yesha buddhimatam buddhir. Buddhi is intelligence. Buddhimatam is intelligent. So the intelligence of the intelligent people is this only. Yesha buddhimatam buddhim manisha cha manishinam. Manisha cha manishinam. The cleverness of the clever people. Yat satyam anrute neha martyena apnoti mamrutam. So this process is the supreme intelligent thing. Beautiful purport. One who desires personal prestige in the Lord's service cannot be considered intelligent and clever. You want to be considered Manisha or Buddhiman, intelligent person or wise man, then don't have any personal prestige, desires for personal prestige in Lord's service. Nor is one who is expert in accumulating money. Similarly, one who is anxious to become a sophisticated transcendental philosopher is not the most intelligent, nor one who is expert in accumulating money. So basically, karmis and jnanis are eliminated. The Lord here states that most intelligent and clever person is the devotee who offers his temporary, illusory, material body and possessions to him with love and without personal motivation. Love and no personal motivation, and offer everything that you have. We discussed it today only several times. The devotee thus obtains the eternal absolute truth. In other words, real intelligence is to actually surrender to Krishna without personal desire or duplicity. That is the real intelligence. That is Lord's opinion. Different people may present different opinions. New philosophies may come up. The modern day interpretations of scriptures may come up. Someone may say, oh, this is not the highest, that is not the highest. But what is Krishna saying here? Whose words you will give more weightage? Krishna says, real intelligence is surrender unto me without any personal interests, without any duplicity. Ahaituki apratihata. Then you will come to me. Saveda dhatum padavim parasya durantavirasya rathangapani. Yo amayaya, without any reservations. Santataya, constantly. Anuvritya, favorably. Bhajeta tatpada sarojagandham. You worship the lotus feet of the Lord. Then you will attain me. You will understand me. This is what Krishna says. This is what Bhagavatam says. It's up to us whether we give preference to Bhagavatam's opinion or Krishna's opinion or someone else's opinion. So in future, we might encounter some other opinions other than these. Then you should recollect, what did Krishna say in Uddhava Gita? So Maya can present hundreds of temptations and distractions in our life through any means, at any time. If we are rooted in the conclusions presented in Bhagavatam and by Krishna, then that bewilderment will not happen. But if you forget this, oh, I will memorize today and then tomorrow exam 50 out of 50 Gaya. Next chapter, next canto, next book. So then it's difficult. So we need to understand this. This is, our life should be centered around this. Actually surrendering unto Krishna without personal desire or duplicity. That is Lord's opinion. However, it doesn't eliminate the fact that different people can exhibit different levels of surrender. Overnight, you cannot express the topmost 100% surrender from everybody. We should also facilitate for the individual, voluntary, and spontaneous desire to serve Krishna that other devotees could maintain. That's what Devamrit Maharaj was mentioning the other day in GBC College, one of the Bhagavatam classes he gave. Prabhupada writes a letter. In that letter he addresses to a manager saying that we should manage the organization in such a way that the individual, spontaneous and voluntary service attitude of devotees could be dovetailed in Krishna's service. One needs to encourage them. If you just present the highest thing, we should know where we have to go. We should aspire for the highest thing. At the same time, in our dealings with others, other devotees, when we are managing them, when we are trying to engage them in various services, we should also respect their individual, spontaneous and voluntary attitude to render service. Yeah, there is a need, but there is also a mood. There is also an ability. There is also an inclination that has to be respected. Right? So in the name of you have to surrender. You can't mistreat people. You can't just force people. You can't just do this and that, like abuse people. You are not surrendering. This is the way he he wants to contribute. So respect his inclination and then give him some space so that he can survive in Krishna consciousness. Right? So when you are on the when you are in the role of managing another person, we have to be mild and you have to be accommodative. At the same time, when you are on the side of receiving service from a superior, then also you have to be accommodative. Okay, my inclination and my mood or my desire may be to serve in this way, but this is what my superior needs at this point. Let me accommodate that. Let me sacrifice. So that is the mood of a servant. But the mood of a master is, oh, although I may need this at this point, but he is more inclined to do this. He's not that inspired to do this. Okay, let me accommodate him. So when both are thinking about each other, then the relationship becomes sweet. Both are sacrificing for each other, then also relationship becomes sweet, and then movement can progress nicely. If everybody thinks, hey, why he doesn't think about me only, why doesn't he empathize with me? Subordinate thinks like that. And superior thinks, why he's not surrendering to me? There is a lot of gap between understanding. Both have to accommodate each other's needs and priorities. If both are thinking about each other and then communication happens in a very Vaishnava way than in a selfish way, then the relationship will sustain, service will progress. Makes sense? Alexis Prabhu? Makes sense? He is too much sacrificing. Next. That is the end of Krishna's discourse. Now from 23rd verse onwards, you will see the glory and benefits of preaching this knowledge. Read the translation. 23.
Thus have I related to you both in brief and in detail a complete survey of the science of the absolute truth. Even for the demigod, this science is very difficult to comprehend. I have repeatedly spoken this knowledge to you with clear reasoning. Anyone who properly understands it will become free from all doubts and attain liberation. Anyone who fixes his attention on these clear answers to your questions will attain to the eternal confidential goals of the Vedas, the supreme absolute truth. One who liberally disseminates this knowledge among my devotees in the bestower of the absolute truth is the bestower of the absolute truth, and to him I give my very own self.
All these are mentioned in your overview notes, where if one does this, this is the result. All that is mentioned. Yeah, read.
He who loudly recites this supreme knowledge, which is the most lucid and purifying, becomes purified day by day, for he reveals me to others and others with the lamp of transcendental knowledge. Anyone who regularly listens to this knowledge with faith and attention, all the while engaging in my pure devotional service, will never become bound by reactions of material work. My dear friend Uddhava, have you now completely understood this transcendental knowledge? Are the confusion and lamentation that arose in your mind now dispelled?
So this is the question Uddhava is asked. No, Krishna is asking Uddhava. Why this question arises? Because so far Uddhava was lamenting. Oh, Krishna is departing. I am separated from Krishna. Krishna is going somewhere else and I am here only. I will not have Krishna's personal association anymore. He was lamenting like this. Definitely those feelings of separation are very genuine, very much nourishing the soul. They're very devotional, they're very spiritual, there's nothing material there. So that is like one angle of looking at it. Even when Krishna departed, Yudhishthira was in lamentation. Arjuna was so much in lamentation. Yesterday only I was describing about Arjuna's lamentation at Chaupati. 1.15 we discussed. When Krishna disappeared, Arjuna was lamenting. He could not speak a single word, and when Yudhishthira Maharaj was asking hundreds of questions. But later, Arjuna pacified himself and came back to his senses by remembering Bhagavad Gita instructions of Krishna. Oh, now I am getting connected to the instructions of Krishna. which he spoke in Bhagavad Gita. Earlier, Arjuna was lamenting, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, then he started fighting. Now Arjuna is lamenting again because of Krishna's disappearance and loss of his powers and other things. Then also Bhagavad Gita came to his rescue. At that point, Arjuna had full powers to fight the Kurukshetra war. At this point, Arjuna did not have even the power to defeat some cowherds also. In both cases, Bhagavad Gita instructions became relevant. So Krishna Katha and what Krishna spoke, the instructions of Krishna are relevant at all stages of life. So that's like one message there. The main point, another point which is connected in this context was, Arjuna earlier lamented because of separation from Krishna. So if you see that feelings of spiritual feelings of separation, they are no doubt, they are all wonderful. But if you see it from different angle, there is a conception of duality there. Krishna is with me, Krishna is not with me. I am happy when Krishna is with me. Now Krishna disappeared, I will not be happy. So there is a conception of duality. But Krishna is always with you. All these energies of Krishna, all the things that are surrounding you, they are all energies of Krishna. They are all representatives of Krishna. So if a devotee does not have this conception of duality, he sees Krishna in every nook and corner of the entire universe. So that is the message brought out in this. So you see this? Uddhava had been bewildered by considering manifestation of Krishna's own potency to be separate from him. Uddhava's lamentation arose because he thought himself separated from Krishna. How can Uddhava be separated from Krishna? Krishna is disappearing, that doesn't mean Krishna is no more there. Krishna is right there. Krishna is always in the heart of Uddhava. Krishna is always surrounding Uddhava in the form of all these energies. So actually Uddhava is eternally liberated soul, but the Lord placed him in bewilderment and lamentation so that the supreme knowledge of Uddhava Gita could be spoken. So Krishna's question here indicates that Uddhava had properly understood or not. Okay, that's one thing. Now, the point here to be considered is, although Krishna is not physically present, although Krishna is not personally there to give me face-to-face darshan, still a devotee feels the presence of Krishna through all the energies around him, through the instructions given by Krishna, through the service given to him by Krishna. So Arjuna felt the absence of Krishna when Krishna departed. After that, he felt the presence of Krishna when he remembered the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Then later, he considered, what is my service now? What Krishna wants me to do now? Krishna wants me to plan my departure. So all the Pandavas planned their departure. You go to the example of Devahuti. Devahuti heard 8 chapters of Kapila's teachings in 3rd canto. And in the 33rd chapter, she offered prayers to Kapila and then Kapila went to Ganga Sagar. Devahuti was overwhelmed with feelings of separation from her son, Kapila. And after some time, Devahuti considered, okay, my son has given me instructions. He gave me some service. I have to follow the path instructed by him and perfect my life. That is my service. So initially she was overwhelmed with feelings of separation, but after some time she considered what is the instruction of Krishna, instruction of Kapila, and what is my service based on that instruction. So then she did that service and she meditated on the form of the Lord as taught by Kapila, and finally she perfected her life. You're getting right? The parallels. So Uddhava also here. Initially he was overwhelmed with feelings of separation. Oh, I'm going to miss Krishna. Krishna is no more there. But understand, Krishna is there, right there, in the form of instruction. Earlier, he was personally present with his form, Tribhanga form. Now he is present personally in the form of his instruction. So all the knowledge that he has given to Uddhava in the form of Uddhava Gita, Uddhava can meditate on it. And the service also was given to him, Badrikashram. Go to Badrikashram and then enlighten the sages. So he has to go there. So as long as there is a remembrance of Krishna, as long as there is an inclination to follow the instructions of Krishna, or as long as there is an opportunity to render service to Krishna, there is actually no separation from Krishna. Krishna is present in the form of his remembrance, his instructions, his service. So Uddhava has to consider that. Considering Krishna separate from his name, considering Krishna separate from his service, considering Krishna separate from his instruction, considering Krishna separate from his remembrance is a duality, is a conception of duality. So Uddhava is overwhelmed by this. Arjuna was overwhelmed by that. Devahuti was overwhelmed by it. But later, they did not perpetually stay in that overwhelming condition only. They came back and they considered, what is my service? Let me do this service. What are the instructions of Krishna? So one has to do like that. So feelings of separation are there. They are spiritual. They are devotional. They are nourishing the soul. At the same time, one should not be overwhelmed with feelings of separation so much so that he neglects the service. One should focus on the service. And ultimately, one's union with Krishna is in execution of that service. Right? Now 30th verse, read.
You should not share this.
Even when Bhishma departed also, Arjuna, Yudhishthira Maharaj was lamenting for a while. But after some time he considered, yes, Bhishma departed, but he never had a material body. He went back to the spiritual planet of the Lord. He was participating in the eternal leelas of Krishna as Parthasarathi. Right? So what is the service given to me? I have to take care of the kingdom. Let me focus on my service. So that is his plan. So far I spoke about separation between Krishna and his devotees. Now I am speaking the separation between devotee and devotee. And Dhritarashtra, Gandhari and Vidura, three of them left Hastinapur Palace. Yudhishthira was overwhelmed with feelings of whatever, so-called separation. The Narmani, of course. This happens to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and that is on a different plane. Right? You cannot compare the feelings of so-called material separation that is experienced by family members in this world when their family members are departed. But Yudhishthira Maharaj was lamenting. Then Arjuna came and said that you are lamenting now, and these feelings of separation on a material platform is just an illusion. Just focus on your service. Now Dhritarashtra is destined to leave his body by performing Ashtanga Yoga. Gandhari is destined to leave her body by entering the fire of Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra's body, and then she gives up her body. And Vidura is, the plan of Krishna for Vidura is, he has to go for pilgrimage and then eventually he will perfect his life. So that is Krishna's plan for them. What is Krishna's plan for you? You be around till Krishna is around. Right? Krishna descended to annihilate all the miscreants in this world. So now, till his disappearance, you can also be around. That's what Narada Muni told Yudhishthira Maharaj. You are able to recollect all this? First canto, 13th chapter. You remember all this? If you don't remember, I don't have time to elaborate also. So point was, Narada Muni was instructing Yudhishthira, you focus on your service. Right? Krishna has set a plan for you and Krishna has set a plan for them. Don't go and disturb them now. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, I will bring Gandhari. I will bring Dhritarashtra. Oh, even if it is, no problem. I will bring his dead body. Then Narada Muni says, no, his body will be burnt in fire. Then he says, I will bring Gandhari. No need. She will also enter fire. So I will bring Vidura. No, he will go for pilgrimage. You don't have to bring them. So like that, you don't think about them. They are following Krishna's plan. Whatever Krishna has planned for them, that will happen to them. Whatever Krishna planned for you, you should execute that. Right? So one should not be overwhelmed by these feelings of separation. One should reconcile various happenings in one's life, keeping Krishna's will, ultimate Krishna's will in view, and then understand the situations accordingly and focus on the service given to him by Krishna. Krishna wants me to be in this situation. Krishna wants me to be engaged in this service. Let me focus on this. Right? So now these things may or may not appear relevant to you. After some time you will remember this. Right? At this point, this is all theory. Reconciling all the first canto example, yeah, third canto example, yeah, then 11th canto example, and then putting all these hosts, drawing parallels. So all this will happen when there is a cause for separation between you and your friend. So it could happen. Because naikatra priya samvaso suhrdam chitra karmanam oghena vyuhamananam plavanam surutusoyata. At that time you should not get bewildered. Remember this verse. Remember all these examples and understand my duty is to execute what Krishna wants me to do. Tasmat idam daivatantram. What did Bhishma tell him? Bhishma told Yudhishthira Maharaj. Tasmat idam daivatantram. So this is the plan of Lord. This is the inconceivable plan of the Lord. Accept it, obey it and execute it. I am going. I will speak to you about Raja Dharma, Stri Dharma, Bhagavad Dharma, all dharmas I will speak and I will go back to my abode. Don't worry about me. This is my destination. You focus on your service. When time comes for you, you also go to whatever destination Krishna decided. Just obey Krishna's plan. So that's what we are there. That's the purpose of one's existence is to be subservient of Krishna's plan. So one needs to understand that and execute it, right? Without protesting. Oh, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to him? Not necessary, right? So now Uddhava is overwhelmed with feelings of separation. There's a conception of duality. He is saying that Krishna is no more there. Krishna is right there. So far, he is there in the form of this Shyamam Tribhanga Lalitam. Now he will be in the form of an instruction. Execute that service. But all this argumentation you cannot give to gopis. They are in a different platform. So same thing, something similar Uddhava wrote and then took to the gopis. And gopis, Krishna said, I want to increase your affection and love for me. So I am causing this separation. Right? Very expertly Krishna presented this. There are three kinds of people. At the end of Rasa Leela also, all the gopis said that there are three kinds of people who reciprocate. Number one, they reciprocate when they receive a favor. Second, they reciprocate even if they don't receive favor. Third, they don't reciprocate only. Which category do you belong to? A, B, C. Then Krishna says D. But we didn't give an option only. I'll choose that option, D option. So D option is, I will not reciprocate with someone to increase his love for me. That's what I'm doing with you. So same thing he mentioned in Uddhava's letter also. Then Uddhava went. Who took this chapter for you? Bhramara Gita, second half. Nice. So at that point Krishna says that I want to increase your separation for you. Uddhava reads that. Then gopis say, my dear Uddhava, so Krishna said like this, better you keep this letter with you only. And in future, Krishna will have a relationship with Mathura woman and he will tell them also the same thing. Then you can give this letter to those ladies, not to us. We will not be pacified by this kind of letters. When Krishna is standing right in front of us, within one eye blink, we experience millions of yugas of separation and he wants to increase our love for him and that's why he is causing separation. No, separation will not happen. Our death will happen. Why is he becoming so cruel? Like that day, just go. Then finally Krishna had to promise that, no, I am coming. Then there will be no separation. I am coming personally. So that's a different case. We can't put ordinary people in that category. But you can see all the other examples that we could relate to. Next. Read. One who is unqualified to hear. 173, na? Oh, sorry, 173 is page number. 30th.
We should not share this instruction with anyone who is hypocritical, atheistic or dishonest, or with anyone who will not listen faithfully, who is not a devotee, or who is simply not humble.
Next.
This knowledge should be taught to one who is free from these bad qualities, who is dedicated to the welfare of Brahmanas, who is kindly disposed, saintly and pure. And if common workers and women are found to have devotion for Supreme Lord, they are also to be accepted as qualified hearers. When an inquisitive person comes to understand this knowledge, he has nothing further to know. After all, one who has drunk the most palatable nectar cannot remain thirsty.
Next.
Through analytical knowledge, ritualistic work, mystic yoga, mundane business and political rule, people seek to advance in religiosity, economic development, sense gratification and liberation. But because you are my devotee, whatever men can accomplish in these multifarious ways, you will very easily find within me. A person who gives up all fruitive activities and offers himself entirely unto me, eagerly desiring to render service unto me, achieve liberation from birth and death, and is promoted to the status of sharing my own opulences.
This is all kind of Phalashruti. So we'll end here. Tomorrow at 7:30 is okay, na? I'll confirm. Mostly here only. They have 10 to 1 class, na? Tomorrow they have 2 classes. Okay. Thane batch can I have here? Thane batch can I have here, 10 to 1. By the time your class will be completed, na? Fine. We may or may not be able to complete 11th canto tomorrow, but we will see whatever is possible without rushing. Thank you. Grantharashimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.